This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with Jim and Tom. And I say another episode, but what I really want to say is season two, the soft sequel. When you think of great shows, Sopranos, The Simpsons, The Kardashians, they all get one season that's 5 years long, 177 episodes, and then they take a 3 month hiatus, and then they come back better than ever. And and that's where we're at. You know, there's more family. You know, we can't call it a reboot.
Yeah,
because the players involved are the same.
We rebuilt.
But we can call it a soft sequel because we're here. And gone are the days of the Greys. We are now Galaxy Warriors.
Yeah.
We have, we've leveled up. It's Pokemon. We leveled up. But this episode is kind of, like I said, a soft sequel. We're going to just kind of catch up because we haven't put out an episode in 3 months. May 2nd was the last time we put out an episode. I left for England that week, and since then we've both been busy boys, and I'm curious to find out how busy we are because we haven't even seen each other in those 3 months. We haven't seen each other because of our conflicting schedules, but I'm curious to see what you've been watching because we haven't talked about really anything other than like the big blockbusters that come out. And we're going to talk about Thor because we really haven't talked about that yet either. So what have you been watching in the last 3 months?
Well, more than anything, I caught up on all the stuff I missed. So, you know, I'm done with the boys. I caught up. I binged all, because everything I wanted to watch was not bingeable in one day. It's episodic. Picard, The Boys, I finished that. Kenobi and Miss Marvel. They're the four major ones that I had to catch up and finish, which has kept me pretty busy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm three of four. My DVR or like streaming queue is seemingly pregnant. It's like 12 months pregnant at this point. I don't know what it is, but I've been fixated on a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of happens from...
You've added soccer to football to your repertoire, and that has to take up a lot of your time.
Yeah, I mean, season tickets for the Union on top of there's 85,000 leagues and clubs that are on at all hours of the day and night. So, I'm on ESPN Plus.
And the good news is Philly's getting World Cup in 2026, right?
Yeah, and I've started to save my pennies because, hopefully this show takes off, our soft sequel takes off again, and I can afford tickets because they're going to be expensive. But I've watched a lot of sports, a lot of weird stuff like kabaddi, and like I've been watching cricket and all these other sports that I'm not normally watching. But in terms of like stuff that we would keep on our brand, the Marvel stuff, that's a prerequisite.
Yeah,
it comes out, I'm watching it. Moon Knight was fantastic. Got a chance to watch that.
We haven't talked since that was really good.
Now, the Miss Marvel stuff, a little shaky at first, but then it kind of hooked me. Kenobi was wonderful. I've seen a couple movies. I saw Jurassic World Dominion, which was I finally saw Hustle, and I know you're not an Adam Sandler guy, but have you watched that?
No. I hear like his stuff now is like he's peaked as an actor, which is crazy.
This one's good though.
Yeah.
You know me. I love basketball. Not a Sixers fan at all, but I love the city of Philadelphia. I'm a Celtics fan. It's a sad day in Celtics history right now with Bill Russell dying, but I was inclined to see this because everybody's been talking about it, how good it is. The cameos are great. Queen Latifah is in it. All of your favorite basketball players are in it. Luka Doncic is in it. Boban. Everybody loves Boban. Yeah. is in it. So I was like, let me check.
Is what's his name too? Boban's best friend. What's his name?
Toby. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't think they'd do anything without each other. So
they can't. I mean, at this point, they're together forever. But it takes place in Camden and Philly in for the Sixers. Oh. He's a scout for the Sixers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he goes to find this unicorn, essentially. The next Giannis is what they were calling it. And it turned out it was, you know, Juancho Hernan Gomez, who played for the Celtics. Now he's with the Jazz, I think. But there's a lot of cool, like, Philly Easter eggs.
Okay.
They use the Sixers practice facility, their players.
Hmm.
The only person who wasn't in it was Embiid.
Yeah, probably cost too much money.
Don't think that. Yeah, for sure. That's an Under Armour salary there. You can't get him. But I saw that. Saw The Gray Man, The Boys. But
you know what movie I saw on my birthday? I don't know if you were. Were you there?
No, I was in. I think I was in London.
Yeah, you were. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Nicole rented a theater for my birthday.
I haven't seen that yet, and I'm so sad to say I haven't seen it.
It is Nicolas Cage's best movie, and maybe Pedro Pascal's best movie. He was awesome in it too.
All right, I'm adding that to the list. That, we're going to enter the Cage universe at some point in our life. But in terms of like the other stuff that I've watched, like it's sadly gone to the wayside, and I feel like I'm starting to like let everything sit in the queue, kind of like what you were doing, because like I can't keep up with the episodes that are dropping episodically. I'd rather just watch everything as they, you know, as they're complete. Like Stranger Things, I watched that because I knew it was going to be spoiled because I had a month gap.
Right.
Fantastic. But then I'm like, let me just put things on the back burner because I'm getting this kind of sense of intense FOMO where we've been locked down for 2 years and now the world's finally opened and I want to live my life. You know, TV can wait because there's times where, you know, you and I have talked about this before where we're hoping for something good to drop. And if I can build up a little bit of a, you know, a backlog,
you know,
I have something good when there's not only bad on.
Yeah. And you know what also is, after the lockdowns and all that other stuff, things kind of got worse. You know, a lot of TV wasn't great. And I guess it was because they weren't putting too much effort into something where people were just leaving the house finally. And, you know, so none of that stuff was, like, really important to me. And, like, you know, the downfall of the DC, you know, the Arrowverse, you know.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of pressure off of your schedule. Like, okay, well, now I don't have to watch these 10 different shows anymore. And then, yeah, a lot of things kind of fell off to the wayside, and we don't have to think about it. There's still great shows out there, but they're not important to what we watch or, you know, our genres that we care about. So.
Yeah, and we kind of, when COVID hit, we figured 2022, 2023, they were going to be great years for movie and television. And, you know, they're turning out to be, but there's just an overload of content.
Right.
Like, I don't even know what to watch, when to watch. Like, this upcoming Friday, we have Sandman and Game of Thrones, I believe, are dropping.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, Lord of the Rings is coming pretty soon. So there's so much potentially really high quality television coming out that you have to pick and choose if you're on a, you know, a tight leash.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see, you know, what goes on the wayside in terms of shows that I really liked before, like The Umbrella Academy is like half finished. Lucifer, half finished. Peaky Blinders, The Bear, all left unfinished at this point. And it's sad because like my friends are watching it and, you know, I watch these shows with Chelsea and she's like,
you need to, somebody's going to tell you eventually, you know?
Yeah. Chelsea's like, can we watch Lucifer? I'm like, I'm not in the mood to, you know, sit down and, you know, binge three episodes and then have to wait another month for me to be ready to watch
it. Yeah, and that's the thing, like, we talked a sort of about how busy we are, and we were talking before we recorded about, you know, I've been really busy at work. Like, all of a sudden, I was working for a month straight. I was working 7 days a week. and now I'm working out of town and stuff. So when I get home, you know, I went to see the family, and it's not that important. And that's, you know, that's kind of a maturity thing. Like, it's good, and I love these things, and I love these shows, but it's not as important as it once was to me. And also, we weren't recording, so we didn't. You know, that was an excuse to fit something in to talk about and the watch and say, well, I need to watch this because of this thing I'm doing. But, you know, that kind of fell to the wayside as well with everything we were doing. So it's hard to get that stuff back.
Yeah, it really is. It's hard to just gain the momentum and find the time to get everything in there. And it sucks because, you know, we kind of built our brand off of the staying current and talking about it. But the beauty about that is we're able to adapt and we can experience stuff after the general masses and all the critics have kind of panned everything. We get to experience it and say, all right, well, let's see how it really is after the initial buzz or the initial, you know, negative buzz.
Yeah. And you know,
out there,
we've never cared about other, you know, my only criteria is to have fun in a movie.
True.
So I've never really cared about what they talk or say about it. So
yeah, and we're definitely going to talk about a movie that had a lot of things to say. A lot of people had a lot of things to say in Thor: Love and Thunder. But there's always been, you and I have talked about some weird movies that we've watched over the past 5 years, and I don't know if we've ever really discussed the topic of guilty pleasure movies.
Right.
Do you have a guilty pleasure movie?
Yeah, number one guilty pleasure movie, and like I'd rather get caught watching, you know glory hole porn than get caught watching this movie. But it's Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Oh yes, we have dusted off this acorn a few times. Yeah,
that's the, I watch it whenever it's on. It's the one that I understand the most and remember the most. Like every other one, it's just fun in the moment, but it's not memorable because it's goofy and it's stupid. Like for some reason, that's stuck in my brain. Like, you know, the drifting, the Mustang with the Toyota engine, little Bow Wow's Hulk truck.
Yep.
Yeah. The intro to Han, Vin Diesel's little cameo at the end, and and also that was the movie that kind of sent them down this path because they, you know, technically they're friends with what's his name now, but yeah, he kills Han at the end of the movie, so
Statham,
yeah, Jason Statham, so
yep,
a Shaw.
Yeah, you know that, yeah, of those movies, honestly, that might be one of the only ones that holds up. And kind of separates itself from the cookie cutter universe of the Fast and the Furious.
Well, the original movie was fun because it was realistic. It was goofy because they did it with, like, you know, California tuner cars in a certain, you know, time. You know, people loved those cars in the early 2000s, and they were stealing CDs or DVD players, I think, is what the big theft was. Something like that. It was like TVs and DVD players was the heist. And now,
yeah, they're robbing Radio Shack. Yeah,
now they're flying to space and knocking satellites out. It got so stupid fast. Like, well, not fast. Yeah. I mean, 20 years is you know, a pretty decent amount of time. But
it's like the Jackass universe. It's like, how can you one up yourself when you've gone balls to the wall so many times? But Tokyo Drift, you know, as terrible as that movie is,
there's no redeeming qualities.
But it separates itself, and it does give you a different take on the Fast and the Furious life and the family aspect of it.
Well,
because that's not a tight-knit family.
No, but it had you thinking it was like a almost episodic movie. It's because the second one didn't have anything. He was like friends with Paul, right?
Yep.
And then this one had nothing to do with that, anybody else. Like, they, until Vin shows up at the end.
And after getting the rights to Pitch Black back.
Yeah. So
that was the caveat for him to be in that movie.
Yeah, great, good for you.
It's crazy that entire universe hinged off getting the rights back to Riddick. You know, I mean, I don't think that the Fast and the Furious universe would have ended because The Rock would have just filled in there.
Eventually, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but Tokyo Drift, yeah. I wasn't expecting that one. I was expecting something with Bette Midler in it, but I'm glad we were able to talk a little Tokyo Drift.
I am unashamed of the Rose love that I have.
So. Nothing wrong with the Rose. That's a fantastic song. I have a ton of guilty pleasure music that if we ever enter the galaxy of music, you know, yeah. You might, you know, look at me a different way.
I was slightly surprised and taken aback by your knowledge of SoundCloud rappers.
Oh, SoundCloud rappers, you know, I listen to a lot of sea shanties now. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, you know, I'll let you into the behind the curtain a bit. Chelsea and I went to the King of Prussia Mall this weekend. And we went to a makeup store. I'm not giving shout outs. They don't sponsor us. And they were playing Destiny's Child, Dangerously in Love. I haven't heard that song probably in 15 years, 20 years maybe. And I'm just sitting there humming it. I'm tapping my foot. It's on my liked tracks on Spotify right now. It's the number one track. I probably listened to it like 8 times this weekend.
I think I went through a midlife crisis.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Since we're talking a little bit, making a music diversion, I bought a stylophone. You know what a stylophone is?
Yes, and I've seen your Facebook post. Yeah,
I add one more hour to that since I posted that, so I'm closer. But I know, like, Anna Gata DeVita. I know Happy Birthday. I know Jingle Bells all by heart. I've never been able to learn a musical instrument, but I, you know, I'm doing pretty good. So I bought
that's amazing.
And then I bought a banjo-lally.
Okay.
Which is a banjo ukulele.
I have both of those, not the Liger of the universe.
So while I was doing that, I was like, well, let's just, you know, peruse the interwebs. And I found a guitar for $200. That's really nice. And I bought a guitar and, you know, kitted it out. So
are we about to start a band is what we're saying?
You know,
we're stopping podcasting.
Me and Toots are
going to
be, I think, duoing on banjo-lally and stylophone. But and I got that cigar guitar in my basement, which I've never gotten to that you got me.
Yeah.
The only reason I haven't gotten to it is because, you know, the in-laws moved in down there, so I can't put it together. Right.
I have about 14 instruments in my apartment that I haven't gotten to in my entire life. So we're on your stylophone may break out to our next live show.
Yeah.
It might just be your concert and
I might write their new theme song on the stylophone. We'll see.
I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. In terms of my guilty pleasure movie, it was really hard to kind of think about like what my guilty pleasure movie was because I like so many terrible movies and like movies that I probably shouldn't like as, you know, 35-year-old man. But I broke it down into like animated, the major blockbuster, and then like the actual guilty pleasure one. If I had to pick an animated movie, it's The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
Oof. Wow.
Which I honestly think has a better soundtrack than the original Lion King.
Who did the soundtrack?
I have no idea. Oh. But it's got He Lives in You, Deception. There's jams on there.
You like Disney more than that. I've never seen it.
I think I'm pretty sure I own the
VHS.
I had the DVD of the dual DVD with the bonus director's cut.
Ooh.
And I bought it when it came out. So I was probably 19. So there's that one. Major blockbuster. We've talked about it. It's Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it. As bad as it is to everyone else, and I know you're pro Thor: The Dark World.
Prone in the fact that like. it's a watchable movie. I don't hate it as much, but it is rightfully, I think it sits at the bottom, maybe.
Yeah.
Of all the MCU stuff, but that's still not a bad spot to be in.
Right. It's better than my actual guilty pleasure movie, which is The Lucky One, starring Zac Efron and Taylor Schilling.
Oof. Really?
Yeah, it's a Nicholas Sparks movie. Yeah.
Wow.
And I've watched it once. But what happens and why this is my guilty pleasure movie is when I'm perusing the interwebs or I'm on TikTok, for some reason, the clips of The Lucky One pop up. And I get lost in hours of clips of The Lucky One. So, yeah, The Lucky One. I haven't read the book.
I think we're closeted Zac Efron fans is what it really is.
Because I mean,
he comes up quite a bit in our podcast, you know.
Yeah, I'm starting to like him more and more.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's true of me, but
have you watched Down to Earth, his Netflix show?
No, you told me to watch that, but I haven't gotten to it.
Total newfound respect for that man. It's not all High School Musical, but The Lucky One. If anybody's looking for a movie to, and we're talking about keeping our time holy, if you're looking to waste some time, it's that movie. Okay. It's, I don't have any excuse for why I like that movie. And I've seen rom-coms in theaters multiple times. Crazy Stupid Love, I've seen 3 times in theaters.
Right.
You know, I've seen Seth Rogen movies multiple times in theaters. Like, This Is the End, I saw that 4 times. But The Lucky One just seems to be on every algorithm on social media that I go on. So,
well,
that,
what's that say, man, about that, you?
That I'm lucky, for sure. There's going to be a young man that comes into my life, I think. That's what it means. I'm not sure. Who knows, my brother or something.
I don't know how many Nicholas Sparks movies I've seen. They're all kind of formulaic, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're the Fast and the Furious movies, right? Just with
romance.
Yeah, and who's the hottest actor at the time? Like, yeah. Liam Hemsworth was in one, and Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
you know, just substitute
and
generic white actor, and you've got yourself a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah,
because there's nothing special about these movies, especially The Lucky One. But if you're looking for something to waste your time or fall in love,
a lot of people watched The Notebook and when I was in the Marines, because it's free on whatever channel we watched on ship. So
Notebook's great.
Everybody was watching The Notebook, like, oh, all right. I mean, we didn't have anything else to do, so
That one holds up. That one's sacred to me, just because it's got Alzheimer's, and there was, sure, you know, my grandpa was dying of Alzheimer's at the same time, so I can't rag on that movie. But that paved the way for that, like, generic white male actor, generic white female actor.
Yeah.
Put them together, they're in love. Throw in a weird other side character, and you know, again, that's the birth of Twilight as well.
Yeah.
So that will never go on my guilty pleasures list.
I'll never watch it. I don't think I ever have, to be honest with you. But,
well, you're not missing anything. I've seen all 4 or 5 of them, and they're garbage. But I'd like to talk about a movie that could wind up on some people's guilty pleasure list, because not a lot of people critically have liked this movie, and fans within the Marvel universe are on the fence with it, and that's Thor: Love and Thunder. And it's been long enough, but for the first time in season 2, spoiler alert, what was your general consensus of walking out of Thor: Love and Thunder?
Like I said, it's important to have a good time. So I did. It was funny. But that, I think that's its biggest problem, is that it was funny. Gore is potentially the darkest character in all of Marvel. He could have been.
Yep.
And it didn't. Sometimes the humor didn't fit with Gore. You know what I mean?
Right.
So sometimes it was a little jarring when you would, you know, go back and forth between, you know, Thor and then like drop into Gore kidnapping kids and talking about eating them and him killing gods and stuff like that. As much as I loved Gore, I almost didn't want him in the movie. Because the movie would have been great without him, but Gore is a great character. So it's very confusing for me. Everything else that's in this movie is awesome if it's bottled together. But when you put Gore into it, and as much as I love Gore, he didn't really belong the way they you know, portrayed him.
Yeah, you know, I've talked a lot about this movie. We did it on Active Geek, but I think I'm right there with you. It seemed like a patchwork of a movie at times.
Right.
And you and I, when they announced Gore, we were stoked.
Yeah.
Because we finally figured, you know, maybe Null, maybe Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah.
But it was pretty jarring to go from the real dark Shadow Realm scenes to Thor in a, like, thruple between him and his, you know, his weapons.
Yeah.
Between Mjolnir and Stormbreaker.
That's not... The comic book is nothing like that. And I don't think Taika Waititi is actually a fan of the comic book in that sense. Like, I don't know. Out of everybody, I'm not sure if he's ever said that he knows the material. And that's not a bad... I'm not, you know, saying that's a bad thing or anything. But I don't know if he's, like, a comic book fan and just understands that. That was a very dark story. And that... Like, the tone of the Dark World... would have been better with Gore in it than, you know, like, you could have threw Malekith into this and because it wouldn't have taken away from the humor and stuff.
Yeah, there's, in this current phase of Marvel, I don't think that there is room for Gore, if I'm being honest.
No.
I'm thinking space-wise and the characters that we have in space. James Gunn would probably do similar things with Gore. Just because he's got that kind of humor as his background and,
right.
you know, Guardians going up against Gore, that's not the right team. Captain Marvel 2, with the Marvels coming out, they're talking about it being, like, pseudo-musical. Gore certainly doesn't fit into that. So it really... Maybe they jumped the shark with Gore.
You know what I would have... If we're... I know I'm jumping ahead, because usually we wait until the end to change something, but... What I would have, and this may be an overarching plan, what I would have liked is all of these, we're very invested into the MCU. We're going to see everything. And if they do all these goofy things that you're talking about, and, you know, they put out, like, these campy shows like Miss Marvel, which was good, but it was campy. And, you know, they put out, like, a semi-musical, and they put this ridiculous, like, Thor Love and Thunder. And they do all this, and they build it, like, campy. And then they introduce Gore. And Gore's not campy. Gore's the Gore from the comic books. And he's killing gods, and he's ripping heads off. And, like, he's as dark as Christian Bale made him. I would have liked that to be, like, he doesn't care how you feel and what songs you want to sing. He's going to rip your head off. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Right. That would have been the best way, because his name is... Gore for a reason. He's not this, you know, show up the house and play pin the tail on the donkey with you.
Yeah.
He's going to kill your lineage. And I would have loved to see more of the actual god butchering and less of the actual gods plotting an orgy.
Right.
You know, they were great scenes for the humor.
That's
aspect
what I'm saying.
The movie
was, I loved a lot of scenes in this. I loved everything that I mean, I like the introduction of spoiler. Hercules.
Yep.
I
love the casting of Hercules.
Yeah. And I loved all the god stuff. I thought that was fun. I mean, they got there a little relatively easy, but I thought that was fun casting. I the whole thing was fun being in that city. But the bouncing back to Gore is just too jarring at the, you know. Yeah,
there needed to be some type of bleed in or like bleed through. Like when they're in Omnipotent City, Gore probably should have invaded.
Right.
Maybe take the child aspect out of it, and Gore invades Omnipotent City and kidnaps a god, or kidnaps Valkyrie, and that's your rescue mission.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, you know, a stuffed animal that blows lasers out of its eyes. Thor doesn't have to lead the child rebellion. Like, I don't... Or bring somebody else in as instead of Gore.
Gore comes in and kills a bunch of gods, in the Omnipotent City, and you know, the combined forces of, like, all the known gods couldn't do anything against them. And I think that would be better. I don't know. There was something that was disjointed. Like I said, I had fun. I thought parts were really funny. I think, you know, Taika Waititi's always funny, but I don't think this was the best told story.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was a fun movie. It was like walking out of Ragnarok, but after Ragnarok, I was like, that's potentially top three of my favorite Marvel movies, top five.
Yes.
You know, this was like, is this middle of the pack? And I kind of felt the same way after the first watch of Madness into the Multiverse, where I was like, this is really good, but it does seem a little jarry.
Yeah.
And most of Phase 4 in general has gotten me on that path where I'm like, maybe they don't know where they're going, or they're just tying up loose ends, because, you know, we've been told that Kang is the big bad for Phases 4, 5, and 6. It's going to be called the Multiversal Saga.
Yeah.
But we've only seen Kang in Loki, which maybe not a lot of fans watched, but core Marvel fans watched. We're going to see him in Quantumania, which is Phase 5. So how does Thor stack up to this? Moon Knight, you know, if we're putting Gore the God Butcher in any of these properties that were in Phase 4, honestly, since he can come to Earth, and we already saw that with the Shadow Beasts and all that, I think he would have worked great in Moon Knight Season 2.
Yeah.
Go in there and kill the Egyptian gods.
Yeah.
Who said they had to be Norse or, you know, Greek or whatever?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, I don't want to put Christian Bale down here. I think Gore in this was one of the best villains.
Yeah.
I mean, he's up there with any of the other ones. He might be my favorite, or like my third favorite villain. And in comic book, he's one of my like all time favorites in all comic books. I loved his story, and I think in comic books that was like recently, maybe in the last decade or two.
Yeah,
that was the best run of comic books. The Avengers run that he where and you know the where it splits off. That was definitely like the best Thor comic books in a long time.
And Gore is a Avengers level threat,
right?
You know, he could have been a big bad after Kang. He could have been, but it seems like they're just he's the bishop to Kang's, you know, king or queen, whatever.
Yeah. And I still think we're going in the direction of maybe Null, because there's so much going on with Spider-Man. You brought, you know, Venom in to the universe. Yep. So,
but do you think that god that they killed, that Gore killed initially to get the Necrosword, do you think they're just going to say, we already saw Null and he's been murdered?
I don't know.
Been butchered? Because he was an all black figure, long hair. Very
I mean,
similar
that's where
to
he
Null.
Gets the all black.
Yeah,
the sword. Which they say it in the movie. I don't know. No.
Well, they show he went to the god on his planet,
right?
And there was a dead god already on the ground.
And that when Gore cut himself, dude.
Yeah.
So
are we gonna think that that's Null? And if so, you know, I think that that's why my like uncertainty with this kind of hinged on it. Because I going into it, and we talked about it, we had so many high hopes for this movie that this was going to usher in Null. This was going to, you know, bring Gore to the forefront of the MCU, maybe Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah.
And we kind of got Phase 2, Phase 1 of Marvel, where they kill their main villain in one movie. They don't bring him back.
Yeah, that's very true. Are they going to just keep doing it? They can't do it forever. And I guess Kang is the only one they really do that with, because he can't be killed.
Yeah.
But that's like built into who he is. He can't be killed. But other than that, like,
you know, they're not going to kill Namor in Black Panther 2. They can't because, you know, trajectory wise, he's not really a villain.
Yeah.
They more than likely could kill MODOK in Quantumania.
Yeah.
Because he's a secondary villain, with Kang being the first one. You know, Adam Warlock, they could completely rewrite his storyline. And
well, we're getting Secret Wars, or what's it? Not,
We're getting Secret Wars.
So, yeah, I guess Kang, and I don't know. Beyonders?
I don't know. There's so much there that they could do,
or
but
not
who
Beyonders,
knows what they're willing to do.
Not Beyonders. What's the name of the guy that has Beyonder's power? He's got to has Beyonder's power. And he's the one that starts the Secret Wars in like 1986. I can't remember. Anyway, could be him. Could be the Beyonders, because the Beyonders kill the Celestials, and we're getting an idea what Celestials are.
Yep, so, they were in this movie as well.
Yeah.
In Omnipotent City.
Yeah, on the outside.
Are you, like, in terms of Phase 4, are you happy with where they're going? Or because we have one movie left and a series. Like, are you sold that Phase 4 is, like, as successful as the Infinity Saga? Like, a good follow-up?
No. Not yet.
Yeah, me either.
I understand where it's going. And I've had, you know, I think there's good and there's bad. I actually liked Doctor Strange more than other people, I guess. I mean, it was jarring because it was bouncing around in between everything, and but there wasn't any real surprises in it. Like, and they didn't really hide anything. They went right into, you know, the Scarlet Witch being the bad guy, which I think everybody already knew. You know what I mean? But I do, you know, that the things that it introduced, I think, were fun, a little Easter eggs. I didn't feel like it had that many little Easter eggs. A lot of money to spend on something, you know, on Guardians and not see all the Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah, it kind of felt like a standalone. Where this was just like, we know what's going to happen with the Guardians. They're going to have a holiday special, and then they're going to do this. Like, that's the plan. Like, they didn't need to be in the movie. And in terms of just Phase 4 in general, it doesn't seem like anything connects. How Moon Knight connects to this whole universe blows my mind.
Except I don't know about that yet. I mean, the only thing that they all share is alternate timelines and, you know, alternate realities.
And alternate personas.
That's the only thing they all share, which is fine, I guess. I mean, that is what they need to get into. It's the only, you know, the only way to get past Thanos is by alternate realities and stuff. So beyond that, like, yes, it's getting very hard to understand how everybody fits into these alternates and stuff like that. So, and especially Moon Knight, you're right. Like, I don't know how he fits into the street level. I mean, he's a street level guy.
Yep.
Although he could become more powerful if, like, he understood things better. But, I mean, he's relatively street level in the comic book, so.
Yeah, my fear is that he's going to become a Thunderbolt and become, you know, dispensable.
Right.
Now that they've announced that movie, you know, and what happens with Shang-Chi? You know, there's a bunch of characters that they've already pushed forward that there's going to be a lot of question marks. But, you know, the one thing that comes out of this is we do get the next two phases that, you know, and the plans for that. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. We get the return of Daredevil. I do have a theory that I would like to see kind of play out in terms of the Secret Wars storyline. I'd like to see Wanda return with amnesia.
Okay.
And she falls in love with Victor Von Doom.
Mm.
And then that opens up Battle Realm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Avengers 7 Battle Realm would be amazing.
And it's would make sense. Because, by the way, the person I couldn't remember is the Beyonder.
Okay.
And he started.
Well, we remembered
the original Secret Wars. Battle Realm with that. And Battle Realm could introduce, you know, you can get X-Men into that because they come from a different universe, so they wouldn't have been affected by the snap and all of the other nonsense. Because I keep going back to that, because that's the most important thing for me, is where do the X-Men come in now that they have them? And it has to come into play by another universe. Or maybe in, like, because they didn't announce it, so maybe in, like, 3 years, all universes collide into, like, one...
Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of deal.
The end of the multiverse is all the universes, like, coming together.
Yeah.
And what they call them, incursions, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe the X-Men from a different universe are introduced directly into Earth's whatever. Not 616, but whatever.
Yes, Earth 616, we're at now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've seen Charles already.
Yeah.
But
he was different. He was from a different universe.
Right. So we're going to get a different version of Charles after that. Well, maybe James McAvoy. Who knows? But I read that X-Men, we have to pump the brakes on that because there was like something in the contract when Disney bought Fox that the X-Men can't be redistributed until 2025.
Oh. That's so, why they're not on the release schedule yet.
Yeah. Okay. And it's, you know, the same thing why we're not getting like a Hulk standalone series and he's going to pop up in She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And they're going to work on like a World War Hulk that kind of spins out as She-Hulk.
We didn't even talk about She-Hulk. I'm not super excited about the look of what she, not just her, but the whole look of the show.
Yeah, the two trailers didn't really do it much justice.
Yeah.
The first trailer had me thinking that Marvel might have lost its touch because that CGI was awful.
Yeah.
The second one, I had a little more hope, but I think I'm riding high off of Daredevil in the hot dog suit. And that's the only thing that made me like excited about it, because seeing, you know, sassy Bruce Banner didn't, you know, I wasn't like, oh my God, he's back. His arm's fixed. He's just doing yoga and so teaching Jen how to.
I'm wondering if it was released, you know, before it was finished for before it's touched up as a show, so they can get the Comic-Con trailer out. You know, we don't know the background stuff of all that. I doubt they would release something that doesn't look great. I mean, they have time to spend a lot of money, and they're not afraid of pushing shows back or changing scheduling. So,
right.
I just think they wanted to get a trailer at Comic-Con. So,
yeah, the second one was a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it was, of all the Marvel trailers that came out and of all the trailers in general, it was at the bottom of my list with that.
Yeah. I mean, it was forgettable.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like I saw it the most and I just totally forgot about it. Like it was out a lot and I seen it pop up a lot and I didn't even really care to look at it. I saw what she looked like and I was kind of, I don't know. And that, it seemed too jokey. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't need to be. Like I don't know.
It's PG-13 Deadpool.
Yeah.
Is what they're going for because she's another fourth wall breaking character.
Yeah.
It would be wonderful if Deadpool kind of popped up in this universe as another fourth wall character. But I've read that Kevin Feige is talking about how Deadpool 3 is going to be, you know, this big moment for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And how Deadpool fits into this whole multiverse Kang the Conqueror.
Well, I don't know about that. But I mean, he can't die. Like, he's met cosmic entities.
Yeah.
He's met death. He traveled with Thanos.
Yep.
Can't die. Like, death won't let him die.
I bet you it all hinges on Cable.
Maybe.
And the fact that he can travel within time and dimensions. And
at some point we have to figure out who's Cable's parents, right?
Right.
And I think that, yeah, you're right. and the fact that he could travel back and forth through time, and that's a way to introduce him. And Deadpool, I think, fits really good. You know, people don't think about it, but, you know, 25 years ago, he, you know, or when, no, not that long ago, but he, you know, he met copies of himself from all over, you know, Gwenpool and but he's met millions of copies of himself and killed a few of them. So, and he did that for years. So I think he fits, and people don't realize that he fits in a lot of like different genres, because he's, you know, any idea that has come up anywhere else, they put it on Deadpool, and the writers are smart enough, because they're all comedy writers. They're, you know, they're smart enough to make it all work.
Yeah, I feel like this chapter three of Deadpool is going to be even more funny because the writers from Bob's Burgers are doing it.
Oh,
and that Bob's Burgers movie was fantastic.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, they say that they're actively working on Deadpool 3 and it's in development, yet not part of phase 4, 5, or 6. So
I don't know
where those Fox properties kind of lie. We're seeing the Fantastic Four getting pushed to the forefront. But again, maybe phase 7 is the X-Men. You know, the comics right now are doing this whole Axe adventure.
Yeah.
Where it's Avengers, X-Men, Eternals. Maybe that's what we could lead to.
I think, well, that's the thing, is they, you know, once they did it a couple different times. Once they, you know, they were unable to put X-Men comics out, or X-Men movies out, and once they were unable to put, like, a Fantastic Four movie out, they killed off all those characters, and they kind of, like, they still had ongoing decent stories, but they weren't great. They weren't in the forefront. Now that they have rights and stuff, I think they're building up stories, current stories, for them to be included into the movies. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to get a full 1965 X-Men origin story. I think it's going to be different. And, you know, I don't know.
And yeah, I think
same goes with Fantastic Four. I think it's got to be modernized, and it's got to be, you know, it's got to live in the post-snap world and all this other stuff. So we got to figure out how that's all going to work out.
Yeah, I think for most of these characters that are going to be reintroduced via, you know, X-Men and Fantastic Four, I think gone are the days of the origin stories. They said that the Fantastic Four isn't going to be an origin story. It's going to be the next chapter in their lives. There's no time to do origin stories anymore because they've established such a vast cinematic universe.
And I think that's smart, because people know who they are. They're not nobody's going to be surprised to find out who these people are. We're all like coming up with, you know, the last 10, 12 years, whatever now at this point, we've kind of grown up with these MCU characters. And I think the people that weren't comic book fans but found out who the MCU is now has some trust in the MCU by itself. And then comic book fans have trust, obviously. And then people that have never known about it and have watched movies are now hopefully comic book fans. So I don't know. I think it's a good time to like forego the origin story for, you know, just a better story altogether. And, you know, I think they did good work in like in a couple different places, just introducing characters and like having like in the story him talk about, you know, his past and stuff like that. I think, you know, usually they've done pretty good work with that.
Yeah, I think it worked for Spider-Man. It can work for these characters that everybody already knows. And the origin stories are best suited for the television universe, like they did with their with Moon Knight and Miss Marvel, what they're going to do with She-Hulk.
Yeah.
I think that's the route that they need to go. But, you know, who are we? We're just guys who, you know, frequently discuss this stuff, but we seem to get a lot of things right. But overall, first movie of season 2, Thor: Love and Thunder. What do you give it? 1 to 5.
1 to 5. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Right there with you.
Yeah. Take gore out of it, might have been higher. My theory is this whole movie was the reason why it's so disjointed, and we get a little hints of it, is because it's all being told of through the eyes of
Quark.
Quark.
Yeah.
That's why, like, it's so messy. Like, Quark is our narrator, and he is in some parts, and yeah. that's why you know he gets a lot of it wrong. And
yeah, it would be crazy if they came out and were like, this is strictly a memory of Quark's.
Yeah.
You haven't seen the true events of Love and Thunder.
It would go up a whole point if they came out and told me that. And not because I said that, but because I think that's you know, it's pretty brave of any major company to do. But
yeah, and like, you're going from a potential of multiple Thors teaming up against Hercules to now Thor and Gore's child, who they're dubbing Love, as the new character. So that kind of dropped some points for me. It was cute that's Hemsworth's actual daughter, but in terms of storyline moving forward, I'm like, I don't know if, you know, reincarnated living embodiment of eternity, Gore's child, I don't know if that's the route I would have went, but it was a bold decision, and making Eternity one of the, you know, most powerful beings in the MCU, or the Marvel universe, a wishing well was kind of a bold move as well. But
that's not accurate to anything. That's why I think it's the narrator of the story is getting it all wrong. You know what I mean? Because it's told kind of in a past tense, and there's a lot of factual errors. Because that's not what Eternity is. Eternity is never granted. There is a wish-granting device, and we've already met the person who's went through it. We met Miss, Captain Marvel. That's not the story they told for her, thank God, because it's a stupid story. But
yeah,
her original origin story, you know, she went through a wish device, or she talked to a wish device. So I hope that's not, well, it's there. So that's what they went with, so. I hope something comes out where they say, oh, no, that's not how it really worked, but whatever.
Yeah, maybe Deadpool will they'll do like a Deadpool special retelling of Thor Love and Thunder.
Like, why would that happen? Why would the living embodiment of the universe care about granting a wish, or why would he have a cannonball run race?
Yeah.
To grant a wish. I don't understand that part.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks and a lot of decisions I wouldn't have made, but that's also why studios don't pay me to make these movies. I probably would have said no to multiple decisions that Taika Waititi made, but Kevin Feige's the benefactor of this whole thing. But
this should have been a rated R Thor, and I think it would have been awesome, but whatever.
Yeah, if this was violent, bloody, like, I want to see all the gods being butchered.
Yeah.
I didn't want a Happy Gilmore-esque, Thor movie, but it's what we got. It's what we're moving on with. And next week, we're coming back with another episode. I said it in season one, 40 times. No more hiatus.
Yeah,
but we're going to come back and be more regular. We're getting back on the map. So follow us on all social media. If you have a podcast directory that you listen to that we're not on, let us know. We'll put ourselves on there. We're the Galaxy Wars on everything except for Twitter. We're still the Grays, but you can find us by typing in the Galaxy Wars podcast. Next week. We'll be back with a fun new episode, and we're going to leave it a mystery.
Yeah.
So you come back. So here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.